Lord bless you all today. For those that have little ones, we have our nursery opening, going through that door and to the left. Pretty cool little place for the little guys. So if you want to take your little ones to the nursery, you can do that now. Got a lot of pages. While they're doing that, let's just go to the Lord in prayer. Heavenly Father, Lord, we come before you today and we give you thanks, as always, first and foremost, for your Son, Jesus. Lord, he is the author and the perfecter of our faith, and he is why we have fellowship one with another through that faith as brothers and sisters today. Lord, we just ask that your Holy Spirit would fall in this place and on each and every man, woman, and child, Lord, that they might receive the word today. God, you know the hearts of men. Father, I just pray that that you would speak to those who are hurting today, that they might find some encouragement in this passage of Scripture this morning. And that it would move them to get up and set out and come home. So, Father, I just ask through this that you be glorified. And ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. How many of y'all catch the Harvest Facebook page? I do. Sometimes that's the only reason I know I'm supposed to speak. Sometimes if it's not on there, I don't know. It's happened before. But today, Mary Teresa had put it on there, and the scripture verses we're looking at, we've been studying the book of Luke for some time now. And today we're at that place where we come to Luke 15, verses 11 through 32. And if you would you stand with me as I read the word? Jesus continued, "There was a man who had two sons. The younger one said to his father, 'Father, give me my share of the estate.' So he divided his property in between them. Not long after that, the younger son got together all that he had and set off for a distant country, and there squandered his wealth in wild living. After he had spent everything, there was a severe famine in that whole country, and he began to be in need. So he went and hired himself out to a citizen of that country who sent him to his fields to feed pigs. He longed to fill his stomach with the pods that the pigs were eating, but no one gave him anything. When he came to his senses, he said, 'How many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? I will set out and go back to my father and say to him, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. I'm no longer worthy to be called your son. Make me like one of your hired men.' So he got up and he went to his father. But while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. He ran to his son, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The son said to him, 'Father, I've sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son.' But the father said to his servants, 'Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger and sandals on his feet. Bring the fattened calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate, for this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found.' So they began to celebrate. Meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of the servants and asked him what was going on. 'Your brother has come,' he replied, 'and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound.' The older brother became angry and refused to go in. So his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, 'Look, All these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders. Yet you never gave me even a young goat so I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours, who has squandered your property with prostitutes, comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found. Thank you, Lord. You may be seated. This story that I've read you is ingrained in many of our hearts and our minds. We've heard it for a long time, and most of us know it as the parable of the prodigal. A young son goes to his father and asks his father for his share of the estate. And I find that kind of humorous, because what young son has any share of any estate of the ground that is and the property that his father has worked hard and strived his whole life to gain? But the father's love for that young man was such that he did as he was asked. And that was no small feat in itself in that time. So you just didn't go to the bank and cash out some CDs or maybe, you know, roll over and cash out a 401k. There was livestock to be sold, property, and other things that had to be sold off in order to give this young man his share. So it took some effort on the father's part just to be able to give this young man his desire. And I'm sure that the father probably knew what was going to happen. But isn't that the way it is with us, though? I can see it in our grandchildren. I can see it in my own boys. They get to that point in their life, even my little two-year-old Callum, you know, you want to do something for him because he's not got the motor skills to do it himself, and he you want to help him do something, and he'll jerk away, and I do it, right? They want to be independent. But they don't have the skills and the knowledge and the wisdom to be able to carry it out. They have not lived and experienced things enough to know what the pitfalls are in a lot of areas. But they still want to strike out on their own. They think they know what's best for your life. And isn't that the way it is with our relationship with God? Sometimes we know what God's will for our life is, but we run from it because that's not what we want. He was under the direction of his father. He was living under his house, his rules, and he didn't want to be burdened by those responsibilities. Bless you. The problem was, he had no property of his own. No way to provide for his own well-being. See, he wanted to be outside of his father's authority, but he didn't want to be outside of his father's provision. But you can't have it both ways, can you? He tried. The father split up the property, gave him what he wanted, and it says here in the scriptures that not long after, he set out to a foreign country. He got everything he had together and he set off for this distant country. And what happened? There he squandered his wealth. So many times that's the way we are. We are have an adventurous spirit and we want to go experience new things. And the enemy tells us that it's exciting, it'll be fun, pleasurable. But he never, ever tells us what the cost is. But what's the enemy come to do? Steal, to kill, destroy. So it wasn't long that this young man had squandered all of his wealth on his independence, and he became in need. And a famine struck that country, it says. So he had to hire himself out as a slave. And what did he do? He hired himself out to feed pigs. Jesus is telling this parable so that the Pharisees and the teachers of the law can hear him. And it's my understanding that they wouldn't even go near a pig. It was an unclean animal. So here's this well-to-do young man who became in need in a foreign country, and now he's relegated to the lowest position as a slave feeding pigs. And he's so hungry that now he longs to eat those pods that the pigs are feeding on. Then the scripture says that he wanted to do that, but no one in that country gave him anything. You know, I spent 10 years working in the jails. And those folks in the jail will tell you that, you know, when they were out there and they had money, and they were living it up, man, they had friends everywhere. But when they get caught and they go to jail, those friends are no longer to be found. I even had one guy tell me that when we were getting ready to move from the house in town to out where we're at now, and I said, boy, I just hate moving. He said, I can fix that for you. All you have to do is get thrown in jail. Because once you get thrown in jail and all your friends find out that you're in jail, all your drug friends, they will come and move everything that you got out. They will take every possession that you have out of that house. And he was speaking from experience, because he was like this young son who went off to that distant country. He lost all of his wealth too. And he found out that those who he thought were his friends really weren't. Those who he thought loved him only loved what he could give to them. Finally, in verse 17, it says, when he came to his senses, he said, how many of my father's hired men have food to spare, and here I am starving to death? It's called rock bottom, isn't it?
Yeah.
You ever been there? I almost brought a journal with me today that I wrote 22 years ago. When I came to that place in my life, I didn't really write it about my father. I wrote it about my mom and how wrong I'd been in the choices in my life that I'd made, and how she seemed to be on that path that led to peace and tranquility. And in that passage, in that journal, and I was getting ready to take my life. That's why I started it, to be honest with you. I'd lost all hope. But in that journal, I remember writing in there that as I was driving down the highway with tears running down my face, I was crying out to God. And I was crying out to my mom. I'm coming home. I ain't got any more. I was wrong. And you were right all along. I'm coming home. Took me 3 years to finally get home completely. But I can relate to this story in so many levels. But when this young man came to his senses, came to the end of himself, and he says, even my father's hired hands have food and to spare. I will go to him and say, Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you. Take me on as one of your hired men. So then it says he got up and he went out to his father. See, there are so many of us that so many times we've come to that realization in our lives that we are bankrupt. We are spent. We don't have any more to give. We don't have anything left. But yet we won't get up and set out to go home where there's peace, there's tranquility, there's provision, and more than anything else, there's unconditional love. Why? Why won't we do that? Because it's hard, isn't it? It's hard to go to that person that you've wronged and look them in the eyes and say, I was wrong. I have sinned against heaven and against you. But when you come to that place where you're there and Satan jumps up on your shoulder and says, you don't want to do that. What are people going to think? I don't care what people think. I came to that point in my life, I had no pride left. And I said, Father, Mom, I need you, but Father, I need you too, my Heavenly Father. And I never will forget that day. It was March in 2000. Hadn't been to church in a long time. And we were meeting at the auditorium at the high school. And Nate Yoder was speaking that day. And he was talking about the Holy Spirit and how it's when you're touched by the Holy Spirit, you're never the same. And I wanted that touch. I didn't want to be the same. So I set up, got up, and I set out. And God met me there. Just like this story of this young prodigal. His father, as he set out and he was heading back, while he was still a long way off. Oh, Lord have mercy. How many of us are still a long way off? Said, while he was still a long way off, his father saw him and was filled with compassion for him. And he ran to him, threw his arms around him, and kissed him. The Father's love for his children. I don't know how many of you have been a father to a wayward child. But I have. And I remember when my son came home, how I ran to him and hugged all deep. That's how I know that we're created in the image of God. Because that's the kind of love God has for each and every one of us. No matter what the cost, no matter what it takes, his love never ends. And it never will. We have this lie straight from hell that tells us that God's mad at us for what we've done, that we could never be forgiven. But he's not mad at you. He loves you. He wants you to come home. He doesn't care what you've done. Just come home. Just get up and set out, and he will run to you. It doesn't care. He doesn't care what you've done. This whole story, it's called the parable of the lost son. It's been called the parable of the prodigal. But have you, do you really know what prodigal is? Have you read the definition? I wrote it down. I just got to find it. That's the way it is when I get up here to teach. I got like 20 pages of notes and I never hardly ever use them. did I do? Okay. Definition of prodigal. Spending money or resources freely or recklessly, giving or having or giving something on a lavish scale. The father knew that when he split up his resources and his estate to give to this young son, what he was going to do with it, that was pretty reckless, I would think. Wouldn't you? Yes, the younger son, he did spend it on loose living and as the older brother says, on prostitutes, but he got his share of the estate, and now he's come back home hoping to be hired on at his father's house as a hired slave or a hired servant. But what happens? Let's look and see what goes on here. The son came home, and after the father threw his arms around him and kissed him, the son started his speech to his father, just like he had rehearsed. And the son said to him, "Father, I have sinned against heaven and against you, and I'm no longer worthy to be called your son." But the father said to his servants, "Quick, bring the best robe and put it on him. Put a ring on his finger, sandals on his feet, and bring the fatted calf and kill it. Let's have a feast and celebrate. For this son of mine was dead and is alive again. He was lost and is found." So they began to celebrate. See, not only did the father split up his estate to give to this young son to spend it on his foolish living, but when the son comes back, what happens? He gets a robe, he gets a ring, and he gets a fattened calf in a celebration. You see, because when that father saw his son coming from a long way off, he saw a young man that was dirty, half-starved, smelling like swine, and he recognized him as his son. And he had compassion for him, and he said, "Quick," before he could even finish his speech, the father jumped in and says, "Quick, put a robe on him. Take these filthy garments on for him and put on clean clothes. Make him whole. Make him clean." Then he put a ring on him. What does the ring signify? You remember the story about Joseph? When he found favor in the sight of Pharaoh, and Pharaoh made him overseer of his kingdom, he plucked off his signet ring and he placed it on Joseph's finger. It is a sign of authority, of honor, and of a position. This young man has been restored and redeemed as a son. And you've been redeemed. You are sons and daughters of the Most High. 1 Peter chapter 4 says that how great is the love that the God has lavished on us that we could be called the sons and daughters of God. How great is this love that's lavished on us. See, we got a prodigal God that loves us so much that he takes us on as his children no matter what we've done. Because his love for us is so great. All throughout scriptures, I see this story of this great love that the Father has for each and every one of us. In the Song of Solomon, we see the story of a young wife who has dishonored her husband in chapter 5. We use it as in dealing with conflict in marriage all the time. But this husband, the bridegroom, loves his bride so much when she comes to the understanding that she knows that she's hurt her husband. And she goes to him to ask for forgiveness. Even before she can say a word, as she steps forward to him, he starts reciting to her how beautiful she is. Just like he did in chapter 4 on their honeymoon night. "Your hair is like, your eyes are like, your lips are like." He says, "I don't care what you've done. I love you unconditionally." He loves you, Rex. You believe it, I know. I believe it. There's nothing that you've done, and there will never be anything that you've done that will ever separate you from God's love. My greatest favorite scripture comes out of Romans 8, chapter 38 and 39. For I am convinced that neither height nor depth, neither angels nor demons, neither the present nor the future, nor any powers can ever separate us from the love of God that's in Christ Jesus our Lord. Nothing can separate you from His love. Distance can't. Time can't. Nothing can. So we see the Father has reinstated this young wayward son. But not everybody's happy. Not everybody's celebrating, are they? It says in verse 25, meanwhile, the older son was in the field, and when he came near the house, he heard music and dancing. So he called one of his servants and asked him what was going on. Your brother has come, he replied, and your father has killed the fattened calf because he has him back safe and sound. The older brother became angry and refused to go in, so his father went out and pleaded with him. But he answered his father, look, all these years I've been slaving for you and never disobeyed your orders, yet you never gave me even a young goat so that I could celebrate with my friends. But when this son of yours who has squandered your property with prostitutes comes home, you kill the fattened calf for him. My son, the father said, you are always with me, and everything that I have is yours. But we had to celebrate and be glad because of this brother of yours was dead and is alive again. He was lost and he was found. The older brother became angry. Why? Probably because it was going to cost him something. In the Jewish culture, the firstborn son got a double portion of the inheritance. So he already shared the inheritance with this young son one time, but now he's been reinstated as a son again and an heir. So what's happening? Taking another cut out of his part. He's been serving his father for all these years, but sounds to me like it was more out of duty than it was to the love of the father. And he became angry. He can't even call his younger brother his brother. This son of yours, he says. Clearly, as we look back at the very beginning of Luke 15, Jesus is speaking right to those Pharisees and the teachers of law. Let's go back and look at verse 1 and 2 in chapter 15. It says, now the tax collectors and the sinners were all gathering around to hear him, meaning Jesus. But the Pharisees and the teachers of the law muttered, this man welcomes sinners and eats with them. Jonathan taught about the last couple of parables on the parable of the lost sheep and the lost coin. And this is all in response to those first two verses. How glad that they were that they found that lost sheep, and how glad that woman was that she found her lost coin. And as brothers and sisters in Christ, shouldn't we be glad when someone comes home to the Father? It says many times, I think Jesus even says it here in these two parables of the lost sheep and the lost coin, that there is a great celebration in the heavenlies for one lost sinner who comes home. But how is it with us when somebody that sinned against us gets a pardon? Do we celebrate because justice was foregone? My Bible tells me that I'm supposed to love God with all my heart, with all my soul, with all my mind and my strength. And I'm supposed to love my neighbor as myself, even when my neighbor done me wrong. Forgiveness. So Jesus is teaching these parables in response to those first two verses. Everybody that comes through these doors at Harvest, I don't know that I've ever seen anybody shunned or turned away. Our mission statement here in this place is to engulf the community with the love of Christ. It doesn't matter what you've done. You're welcome here. It doesn't matter what background. We love you the way that Jesus loves you. And if you're here today, I got a song I'd like to play today. It's from a young man that a lot of us in this building know. His name was Samuel Hancock. He made a name for himself in the music industry. And he's got a song that speaks to these verses that we're teaching today. And it's a plea for those who are not set out yet. Just come home. Can you play that, Joel? And while that song's playing, if the Holy Spirit stirred something in your heart and you got something that you want to lay here and you want to come home, we're open. Let you have a seat.
We were to pray for both of my daughters, mm-hmm. and Sally. They're not in church. They're big kids, but they just need to come to the church.
Heaven. Mom and brother, sister, need to find Jesus.
Yes, amen. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you right now, and you heard the cry of this mama's heart. Father, let me turn my mic off.
Thomas Beers.
Yeah.
You know, he's died.
Yeah.
Okay, I didn't know.
Yeah.
He went to our church.
Yeah, okay. We knew. Thank you, Lord. Let's pray. Heavenly Father, Lord, we just come before you and we are so thankful, Father, that your love for us is never ending. It is lavish. And Father, it's unspeakable how much you love us. And Lord, today as we remember that great love that you had for us, that you sent your Son to die on that cross, as we participate in our communion service, Lord, I just pray that we would remember just exactly what it cost you to save us. That unconditional love, that you didn't hold anything back, that you gave your own Son that we might have life and have it to the full. The wine and the bread represents the blood and the body of Jesus. Father, we are forever grateful and we will never forget. We thank you, Father. I just ask that you would be glorified in us, through us, and to us. In Jesus' name, amen.